Welcome to another fabulous sport and lifestyle biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. This week we have two superstar females on the show. We start with American college athlete Alexis Spans, back after an ACL injury and looking forward to a new placement. And also Katie Scott, national hunt and flat dual purpose trainer on the borderlands of Scotland, having lots of winners and already hit a half of her season target before the start of June. We hope you enjoy the show. You'll never stop this, but I will never let you go. Well, who am I to say? Maybe by now you should know. You got your somebody calling, you think you're somebody, don't you? I think you're scared of keeping somebody close. We start off this week with Alexis Spans, all the way from America. Well, everyone, I'm delighted to say back with us today is American footballer Alexis Spans, all the way from Virginia. Hi, Alexis, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Really well, thank you. It's been a couple of months since we last caught up. Your first interview went down really, really well, got a lot of interest, and many are waiting with bated breath to see how you've got on. It was just before you started back playing, so if you could just let us know what it was like to get back on the pitch and how you've done since you started.
Yeah, it felt so good to be back on the pitch. You know, sitting on the sideline for 6 months, it was definitely quite a long time, but it felt like yesterday when I went back on the pitch. I was so excited to be with my teammates and to be training again. You know, definitely I was rusty at the beginning, but putting in the work over multiple months has definitely helped and made me look so much better on the field.
Wonderful. That's lovely to hear. Just going back to the injury quickly, how was your recovery from day one post-op? And how long did it take you to go from operating table to back on the pitch?
I got cleared 8 months into my injury, so it definitely took a long time, but that's kind of the average amount of time that it takes for athletes. It definitely took a lot of work, PT multiple times a week, strength training multiple times a week, but the work that you put in, you definitely see it pay off week in and week out when you're, you know, meeting your goals, whether that is being able to walk down the steps or being able to run a mile. So just having those goals definitely helps get you to being back on the field.
Yeah, fantastic. And 8 months is actually quite good for a recovery period from the injury you had. ACL is very common in female footballers at the moment. And the more I work with, the more I see and hear about girls or women getting this type of injury. So 8 months is very good, but it was quite easy to see that you were quite active on social media and your recovery, you just threw everything into it. Was it actually all the way smooth, or did you have some battles to get back in that 8 months?
Yeah, I definitely had battles, and that's completely normal. I know I contemplated multiple times like giving up soccer and, you know, why did I go through this? Why at this time? But just continuing to look forward and look at the positives and look at what you've accomplished definitely helps. You keep making progression in your recovery. And I think, you know, having a positive mindset and relying on the people around you and your support system definitely will help you get through that.
Yeah, that's a very, very important point to make, actually, was that it's not just the physical, is it, in this recovery? It's actually the mental as well. And trying to keep yourself in as most positive place as possible will obviously help that. And it's important you have a good network around you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's definitely very mental. And I think it helps videoing yourself, like every, you know, PT session or just little video clips, because then you can look back at it and be like, wow, I really did that. Like, I could barely squat, I could barely walk, and now I'm able to run, and now I'm able to, you know, play my sport again. So definitely looking back where you came, yeah, it motivates me even more, like right now, to keep going.
Do you know what? And that is actually an amazing point you make. I'm helping an 18-year-old that I worked with when she was 11. Just before COVID, she'd done her ACL, and it took her a year to get an operation because of the NHS and everything, because she wasn't actually aligned to a club. She was only 16 at the time. And like you said, she's contemplated a number of times of giving up, but she's asked me to help her try and get back, give it one last shot, as it were. So that's a really good point you make, to actually video the sessions that we do, because it is a positive, isn't it? When you see yourself actually training, and probably sinks in a bit more when you can actually see yourself physically doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a really good point. So thank you for that. We'll go on to obviously much happier times. We spoke about a week or 2 weeks, I think, before your comeback game. Tell us what it felt like to, first of all, get the kit on and know that you were going to play and step out on the field for the first time in 8 months or 10 months.
Yeah, I was super nervous. Like, I've never felt that nervous in my life because, you know, as a soccer player, you play year round. You don't take breaks. You're always playing soccer on vacation or wherever you are. So I was extremely nervous. And that definitely kind of took out a lot of my energy. So within like 30 minutes, I was like, I'm done, coach. Like, but you definitely have to start with, you know, smaller minutes. Yeah. And just work yourself up, because you're not going to be in the shape that you were prior to the injury, but you're definitely going to get back.
Yeah, and how were you during that first game? Was there any, oh, I don't want it to happen again? Or were you sort of just, no, I'm going to throw myself into it?
I kind of just played with no fear. I just went in saying, because I got injured off in non-contact, so no one was around me. So I'm like, if it happens, it happens. But I've done all this work for to strengthen my body, strengthen my legs, so I was going in that I would be fine. And my parents were actually really shocked. They're like, wow, you look this good after 8 months. So I was like, yeah,
and that's great, because as I said, just going from social media and speaking to you before, you put an incredible amount of hard work that went into it. And obviously the harder you work, the more solid you are in your mind that you've done the recovery correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. And as you said, it was a non-contact injury, so it wasn't like waiting for the first tackle or make your first tackle. That was good. So obviously everything went great. You said all your energy was taken out with nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to sort of get back in? Was it sort of in the second game that you relaxed a bit more, or did it take a few weeks?
It definitely took a few weeks. Every game that I played, I got better and better. I would say probably about a month, and then I had a showcase after, like, during my 9 month time, and I played really well. So I think it takes, you know, I would say 4 games to get back to being closer to yourself and being less nervous.
Which obviously ultimately helps the end performance.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's absolutely great. How has it gone since you come back? How have you progressed? Yeah, how's your gameplay been?
Yeah, it's been really well. We had a showcase a couple months ago, I think maybe 1 or 2 months ago, and I played over 200 minutes in one weekend, which was the most I've played since I've been injured. So it went really well, and I got good feedback after that. And, you know, I've been just putting in the hard work week in and week out, which has led me to getting committed to George Mason. And they, you know, even though I'm not 100%, I'm really close to it. They see the potential in me as a recruit, so they're definitely, you know, gonna bring me on board and just see me through the whole process.
And that's great. And that gives me a great link onto our next topic, which is the fact, as you've just mentioned, you've committed to George Mason University. You'll be playing in D1, which is the top division. Tell us about how that came about and how excited you are for it.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this opportunity. So we have 9 players coming back, and then we have about 19 freshmen coming in. So we're all super excited to, you know, make an impact and kind of change the program around to being, you know, a winning program. It definitely took a lot of hard work, took a lot of emails and phone calls to get me committed and being persistent. So even when you're injured, definitely, you know, send the coaches emails so they can see, because you could be somebody who, you know, just sits on the couch, doesn't send them anything, but then they don't hear from you for a whole year. But if you send them film and send them emails about how you're doing, that definitely, you know, gets you ahead of the game and gets them to see that you're actually working hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to use your time productively, haven't you? You know, and as you said, you know, it was 8 months, and it probably seemed like forever at times, but it is just 8 months. And the fact you put in so much hard work, the fact you're such a good player, but probably more the fact that you were kept reminding the coaches of this and your commitment. If you hadn't have done it, you said, it probably would have been somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. So when does all this start? Tell us about what you're looking forward to and what subjects, or, you know, what you're studying and stuff like that.
Okay, so we have preseason August 1st, And our first game is in August. And then we can report and take like summer classes if we want, June 27th. So I'm going to do that so I can get with the strength and conditioning coach and kind of have them see where I'm at and say, okay, you need to work on this. And they can help me throughout the summer. And we receive our like preseason packet. So I'll be working on that where it's like a lot of running and a lot of like technical stuff to get us in shape for preseason. So it's really started now. I'm running, 5 miles a couple times a week, trying to get my endurance back where it was. And I'm super excited to, be part of this new family and kind of experience something new. I'm only 40 minutes down the road. So my parents are like, we won't really miss you. And I'm like, yeah, you'll be able to see me whenever. I'm studying biology and I actually picked classes today. So it's going really well.
That's fabulous. And 40 minutes from home, I mean, that's quite good. That's good, isn't it? That's obviously very close considering the size of America and pretty much where you could have gone.
Exactly. I'm like, team dinner's at my house. Whenever you need dinner, you're homesick, we'll come over here. So.
Oh, that's fabulous to hear and happy that, that's so good for you. So tell us a little bit about George Mason and what you think. You said it's a bit of a building project. Where you can see them being in a couple of years?
Yeah, I can see us being like one of the top programs in the country in a couple of years, just because Coach Monty is recruiting girls from like all over the country, and they're really like-minded like me. They want to win. They're ready to put their foot forward and work hard this summer. And we all want playing time, so we're all going to work really hard. George Mason is a medium-sized school. It's located in like Fairfax County, so plenty to do around the school. We have like a mall really close, lots of places to eat, and no football team, which is completely fine, but that means they focus on other sports, which I love. So like soccer is a big sport there and basketball. So, more fans, the better, but I'm super excited.
That's wonderful. And just something you touched on, we obviously, as you know, we try and help girls from the UK get scholarships to play soccer in America. And you touched on there that there was a good mall and eating facilities and that it was really good in the area. That's just as important, isn't it? The fact that, if you do get injured, or also being able to have a social life away from everything, that you choose the right place for you outside of the college.
I agree. And I think that every college is different. What I might be looking for is different than what some like my friend might be looking for. And that there's a college for everybody.
That's a really good thing. And then one other thing I was going to ask you, Alexis, was just tell us about the D1. And it's sort of a status, isn't it? A stature that you're playing for a D1 team. Tell us a little bit about that and about the conference and where you might be actually traveling to for some of your matches.
Yeah, so we're actually just traveling very close along the East Coast. I don't think too many plane rides. I think we'll probably going by bus, which I love bus rides. Okay. Bus rides, as any athlete, is so fun. But I would say like a medium-sized conference. It's the same size as like every other conference.
Yeah.
With schools that are relatively close. Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know.
That's cool. Do you have set days that you play, or could it be anything?
So I think we play maybe once or twice a week. And then practices for us are from 9 to 11, Tuesdays through Fridays. Right. So it's not too early for the people that don't like waking up early, but I think it's the perfect time.
Yeah, and obviously it doesn't stop for you, does it? Because you've got to fit training, you've got to fit studying in, because you don't want to let your scores drop. So you obviously know the hard work sort of starts here.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. So just before we finish off, and I can't believe where the time has gone already on this, tell us what you hope to achieve. You've got it's a 4-year program, I presume, and you want to come out with your degree and ready to play football or soccer team. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
My goal is to finish my college strong, and definitely my number one goal is to start as a freshman. So just because I was injured last year doesn't mean I'm sitting on the bench. I'm ready to come out, take people's position that have been on the team previously.
Yeah.
And, kind of make family bonds with the team. That's what I'm hoping, is that we're hanging out outside of soccer.
Brilliant. I know how hardworking and how dedicated and how tough you are, which is all important stuff where you, fortunately for you, you're local, but when you have to go and live away and do have those up and down moments, but I can only see great things for you. And let's hope you have a safe and a successful season, and we can catch up with you real soon and before you start your semester.
Yeah, sounds great. Perfect. Thank you.
Well, for today, thank you, Alexis. Lovely to speak to you, and we'll catch up soon.
Yep, bye.
Thank you, Alexis. Fabulous interview. Looking forward to hear your progress throughout the next two semesters into 2023. And next, after a few adverts, it's Katie Scott.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, everybody, back with me today is National Hunt Trainer from Scotland, Katie Scott. Hi, Katie.
Afternoon, how are you?
Well, thank you. I know you've had a busy morning, so thank you for giving your time to us. We're going to do an end-of-season National Hunt review, for a trainer's point of view, actually, our thoughts and potential stars for next year. But first of all, we can't let it slide that you've had yet another winner this week. Absolutely fantastic. I will allow you to pronounce the name for me. If you could just tell everybody about the race, about the horse, and how your season's gone in general.
Yeah, so we had a winner at Ayr on Wednesday with a filly that I named myself, and she's called Slangeva, which means good health in Gaelic. It's a common toast in Scotland and Ireland when you're having a drink. So I named her myself. It was a great winner to get. She's been a bit of a tricky customer since we got her, so it was very satisfying, very satisfying. We call her Annie at home, and she came to us about a year ago. I got her through a friend. We picked her up. She was £500.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. When she came to us, she was very, very nervous of people, and she still is a bit. And then when we got her broken in and got her started, she actually had an injury. She became what we know in horse racing as a wobbler.
Okay.
Which tends to be damage to the nervous system. So she kind of was basically like a person that had a stroke for a little while.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of horses don't come back from that, but we gave her a lot of rehab with the help from our vet, and she came through it, and yeah, so it's amazing. And then we had a bit of a torrid time with her. She was quite nervous in stalls.
Okay.
So that took a lot of work, and then eventually everything's came together, and yeah, she's just improving with every run. So I'd like to think she'd be capable of winning a couple more.
That's fabulous. Amazing. I think, did she run a couple of weeks ago, first time out, quite a big price?
Yeah, we got her sort of handicapped on the weather over the winter. She got her mark, but she was so green and so nervous that she wasn't really running a race. And then her confidence has got better. She ran at Hamilton last week, finished second, and then came out and won at Ayr. So
absolutely fabulous.
It's great.
Brilliant.
It's fantastic.
Just something you mentioned there on confidence. Is it like where I work with young footballers? Is it seriously just a case like that? Horses are exactly the same. Once they find that confidence and that belief, it actually improves them more than you can imagine.
Yeah, I think people are the same as horses, and I think you will get ones that are just born with that natural born confidence.
Yeah.
And then you also get some that maybe need nurtured a little bit. And she was very nervous with us in any way to deal with when she came, like, terrified of life.
Yeah.
Whether she was born like that or whether something bad's happened to her, we don't know. But to see her just blossom and get more confident is amazing. But I think they're like people. Some people are born with it, some people need it nurtured, and some people never have it. But she's came through nurturing.
And obviously being such a low price, I'm not saying this is relative to horse racing, but does that give you that little bit more time to help nurture her?
Yeah, definitely. I think I bought her myself cheap and then done quite a lot of the work with her, and then when I thought, right, this horse is okay, I put her in a partnership and sold shares in her. But yeah, it definitely just takes the pressure off a bit. You know, she didn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Gives you a bit of breathing space, and then anything is a bonus with her. Whereas if you spend a lot of money and they don't perform, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, no, and that was just my point. And I didn't make it in a way to sort of slight horse racing or to say that if they go wrong and they're more expensive, they just get thrown to the side. I just wondered whether you buying it, her being very, very cheap, whether it just took the pressure off a little bit to give her that more time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she, yeah, exactly. It just takes the pressure off. And obviously where she'd been before hadn't been ideal for her. I don't know. And for some reason, she hadn't made the grade at the yearling sales and she'd probably been forgotten about a bit. And we just came upon her by chance and really liked her. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
What a story.
Yeah, no, I know. I was one of the staff were saying, oh, we could make a film out of this.
Yeah, well, we could. You know, good health. It's fantastic. Yeah. What a great story.
Yeah, no, it's great, yeah. And actually, my friend has the mother, and there's a chestnut filly foal standing in the field.
Wow.
That's a sister to her, so we'll see where that one ends up.
We'll see where that one ends up, absolutely. So that's fabulous. So that's three winners quite recently, isn't it, that you've had? Is it Guido won twice?
We've had six flat winners since the turn of the season, so
brilliant.
That's really good for a small yard like ours. I had sort of made the quiet aim at the start of the season for 12, so to sort of be halfway there before June is great.
That's fantastic. And that obviously, not saying that you needed to justify it, but it does justify and solidify that decision to go dual purpose.
Oh, for sure. I mean, to be honest, our flat team has ended up way better than our national hunt team at the moment, and it's really satisfying to watch them go from strength to strength.
Fabulous. And it's not only heartwarming to talk to you, but it's, and I'm not saying that things go on in racing, but you mentioned to me when we spoke last time that every horse you enter and you take to the races is in the belief that it will get into the top four, or that is the minimum aim sort of thing. So it's a great story all the way around for a small yard, as you said, six winners already, £500 filly who's a wobbler. Unbelievable.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. It's great for us to get off to a start like that and cheap horses and stuff. And hopefully if we keep producing with these sort of lower grade horses, eventually we will build up to getting something better in the yard and hopefully going on for bigger and better things.
Yeah, amazing. Plus, and it's no small fact, is it, that you had some ITV racing the other day?
So that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Class 2 on ITV, and it was a £30,000 race.
That's
which was
correct.
Great for his owners.
That's no small advert for your yard.
No, for a small yard like ours, that is just fantastic. And like I say, to pick up a good bit of prize money is a big thing as well for us.
Yeah.
It gives the owners back some money to invest again. And the owners of Guido have actually got a two-year-old in the yard as well, which is fantastic.
Nice.
So hopefully, you know, if we keep keeping them happy, they'll send us some more nice horses.
And that's a good time to sort of nudge them, isn't it, as well, once they've just bagged a nice prize.
Definitely.
Fab. So that's your season. I mean, what a great season you've had so far. You've hit half your target, and you're right, it's not quite June yet, so that's absolutely brilliant. Any plans you've got in place already for runners that will be going in June?
Yeah, so to be honest, we don't plan too far in advance because the fluctuating handicap marks just makes it a little bit difficult for us to do that. We've got three runners out tomorrow. We've got two at Haydock and one at Musselburgh. The ones at Haydock should run well. Musselburgh won, probably got an each way chance, and then we've got a few runners out next week, but no sort of firm plans for June yet. Our job's so weather dependent as well, you know, if you really fixate on one race then you don't get the weather you want, so we try and have quite fluid plans for them.
Absolutely. And just touching before we go on to the National Hunt Review, how hard is it with the handicapper? Is it true that they go up a lot quicker than they come down?
They do, for sure. I think you do get punished for consistency. A horse like Guidor is always going up and never really coming down, which is good because it means you've got a good horse.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they then start getting punished for finishing placed, and they're maybe just not quite good enough to win off that mark.
Yeah.
But because they're honest, genuine horses, they're also not running poorly enough to come back down. But at the end of the day, it's a handicap sport. That's what we sign up to. And I don't have a huge amount of complaints with it, to be honest.
No.
I think on the flat, it's a little bit easier. You know, if you have a horse that's handicapped wrong, it's easier to run them a few times quickly and they're coming back down. Whereas the jumpers, you know, if they have a hard race, it takes them a long time to get over it.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, on the flat, you could get four runs in a month. Whereas one National Hunt horse, that could take you all winter.
Thank you, Katie. What a fantastic part one of your interview. Tell us all about your current form and a couple of special little things like the cheap mare that you've turned from wobbler to winner. And then finally, after some more adverts, it's our SLB Sports Roundup.
UK Health Radio. Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, darts, motorsport, NBA and football. We start with golf, and the European Tour and the PGA Tour joined together to host the US PGA, the second major of the season from Southern Hills Championship Course in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was won by one of the best players in the world, Justin Thomas, who last week played himself back into form and came with a late rattle to tie with Will Zalatoris, who will be one of the stars of the future, on minus five. Justin Thomas then went on to win the major on a playoff. Joint third was Mito Rivera, only new to the PGA Tour, having won three tournaments in a row on the Korn Ferry Tour, got his card and he was fantastic, just faltered at the end, as did Cameron Young. They finished one shot back on minus four. Notable performances from Tommy Fleetwood, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who both finished on minus three, Rory McIlroy, who stormed into a lead on day one. He finished on minus two, and Abraham Anser was minus one. This week on the PGA Tour, it's the Charles Schwab Challenge from the Colonial Golf Course in Fort Worth, Texas. The European Tour hosts the KLM Open from the Bernardus Golf Course in Holland. The LPGA is back on June the 2nd with their major, the US Women's Open, from the Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Club in Southern Pines, North Carolina. Horse racing. Last weekend, it was the Irish Classics, the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas, and we gave you the double. Native Trail was odds-on favourite to go one better after he lost his unbeaten record by a head in the English Classic. And he duly obliged. He may have been a bit more workmanlike, but he needs to step up in trip. This means Charlie Appleby has become the first trainer to ever win the English, Irish and French 2,000 guineas with three different horses. Two of those were ridden by stable jockey William Buick. The Irish 1,000 guineas saw Homeless Songs, as we predicted, for Dermot World and jockey Chris Hayes, defeat Tuesday of Aidan O'Brien's, who brought great form into the race, and it was a good performance by Homeless Songs. Next weekend, we have the Classics from Epsom, the Oaks, where Emily Upjohn looks to secure her position as favourite, but a big one we actually gave you a couple of weeks ago was Nashua, ridden by our own Holly Doyle. She looks like she's going to go for the race. In the Derby, Desert Crown and Stone Age look the two to beat for everybody else. Supplementing race, the Coronation Cup doesn't look like to have any of the flavour that it used to, and it could be won by the young horse Manobo, again for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. The French Derby is also that weekend, and it sees another Charlie Appleby-William Buick combination. We think Modern Games, who won the French 2000 guineas, is made to stay the 10 furlongs, and we think he'll take all the beating. It's then the build-up to Royal Ascot and some long-range fancies for you. The Queen Anne looked no further than Bayeed. The Kingstown Sprint looks to be an international affair with Golden Power Nature Strip looking to hold the best chances. And the St James's Palace Stakes is another shoe-in for 2,000 guineas winner Caribus. The Prince of Wales Stakes sees a return from Charlie Appleby's Adair, the Derby winner from last year, and also followed Charlie Appleby in the Royal Hunt Cup with One Ruler. The Ribblesdale is for fillies over a mile and a half. And look at Nashua. If she doesn't go for the Oaks, she should win that. And the Ascot Gold Cup will be ground dependent. If it's soft, look no further than Trushan. If it's fast, it's Stradivarius. The Commonwealth Cup looks the race to lose, a Perfect Power. He didn't quite stay the guineas trip, and has speed to burn. The drop to 6 furlongs should suit him perfectly. And in the Coronation Cup, it's Homeless Songs again, looking to improve yet again. But she has a couple of good rivals, in Spiral, who we've been waiting for all season to see a reappearance, and also Cachet, 1,000 guineas winner and runner-up in the French 1,000 guineas. Finally, the Hardwick Stakes. We're looking to see Hurricane Lane come back after a great season last year. Again, Charlie Appleby and William Buick. On to darts, and night 15 of the Premier League was at the O2 in London, and it was won by Joe Cullen, who played some fantastic darts. He beat Johnny Clayton 6-4 in the final, taking 5 points, Johnny Clayton with 3. The two defeated semi-finalists, Peter Wright, who lost 6-1 to Joe Cullen, and Michael Smith, who lost 6-4 to Johnny Clayton, both collect 2 points. And the table is as follows, with Johnny Clayton on 37, having qualified, Michael Van Gerwen second on 31, and James Wade third on 25, also both qualifying. And now there's only one place up for grabs and two that can get it. Joe Cullen or Peter Wright, both on 22. Gerwen Price, Gary Anderson and Michael Smith have been eliminated. This week sees the final qualifying round with all 8 present. It's night 16 and it's in Newcastle. On to motorsport, and we start on 2 wheels with MotoGP. They're back this weekend with the Gran Premio d'Italia from the fast and famous Mugello circuit. The standings see Fabio Quartararo for Monster Energy Yamaha in the lead on 102 points. Just 4 points clear of Alexei Espargaro for Aprilia, 98. And third place, Enea Bastianini for the Gresini Racing Ducati on 94. World Superbikes held round 3, the Estoril round from the Circuito Estoril, and race 1 was won by Alvaro Bautista on the Works Ducati. Second place, Toprak Ratsakalioglu on the Works Yamaha. And third place, Great Britain and Northern Ireland's Jonathan Rea on the Works Kawasaki. The same 3 riders filled the first 3 positions in the Super Bowl race and race 2. The Super Pole race, though, being won by Jonathan Rea, with Toprak second and Alvaro Bautista third. And race 2 being won also by Jonathan Rea. But this time Alvaro Bautista was second and Toprak was third. No surprise to hit the standings are the same 3 riders. Alvaro Bautista is in front on 161 points. Jonathan Rea is second on 144. And Toprak is third on 109. They're back on the 10th to the 12th of June with the Emilia Romagna round from the Misano World Circuit, Marco Simoncelli, named after the great young rider. British Superbikes, they were back with round 3 and races 7, 8 and 9 from Donington Park National. Race 7 was won by Carl Ride for the OMG Racing Yamaha team. Second place, Jason O'Halloran, McCams Yamaha, and lovely to see the McCams bikes back in form. And Bradley Ray was third, also for OMG Racing Yamaha. Jason O'Halloran this time took race 8. Second place, Bradley Ray. Third place, Leon Jackson for the SF3 Racing Kawasaki. And another win for Jason O'Halloran in race 9. Bradley Ray, again second. And Lee Jackson, also third, again for the second race running. The standings see Bradley Ray out in front on 158 points. Jason O'Halloran is second on 130. And Carl Ride is third on 125. They're back next on the 17th to the 19th of June with round 4 and races 10, 11 and 12 from Knock Hill. Speedway Grand Prix are back this week with round 3. And the Czechoslovakian Grand Prix from Prague. The standings see Bartosz Smarzlik in front on 32 points. Closely followed on joint second by the 2 Danes, Leon Madsen and Mikkel Mikkelsen. They're on 30. On to 4 wheels, and we start with NASCAR. It was the all-star race from Texas Motor Speedway. And it was won by Ryan Blaney, driving the Ford Mustang 14 Penske. Second place, Denny Hamlin in the Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. Third place, Austin Cindric, Ford Mustang, for Team Penske as well. The standings see Chase Elliott still out in front driving the Chevy Camaro for Hendrix Motorsport. He has 475 points. Second place, Ryan Blaney, Ford Mustang for Team Penske, 423. And third place, Kyle Busch, driving a Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's on 417. This week, it's the Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte Motor Speedway. IndyCar, and this week it is the biggest race in the calendar, and some say the biggest motor race in world sport. It's the Indianapolis 500 from the Brickyard in Indianapolis. The standings currently see Will Power out in front for Team Penske on 170.
Second place, Alex Palou, Chip Ganassi Racing, 156. And third place, also the Team Penske, it's Scott McLaughlin on 152. Formula E are back on June the 4th with the Jakarta E-Prix from Indonesia. Their standings are led by Stoffel Vandoorne for Mercedes EQ on 111. Second place, Eduardo Mortara for Rokit Venturi Racing on 99. Third place, Jean-Éric Vergne for the DS Chatita team on 95. Formula One, and it was the Spanish Grand Prix yesterday from the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya. It was won by Max Verstappen for Red Bull. Second place, Sergio Perez for Red Bull. Third place, George Russell for Mercedes. It sounds a normal 1-2-3, apart from the Ferraris, but it was more than that. Mercedes showed so much improvement. Absolutely fantastic. Max had a few problems. And Charles Leclerc was in front and he had a power unit failure and broke down. So Max Verstappen wins the race. Controversially, his teammate Sergio Perez was forced to move over and let him past. Something we don't agree with, but it is what it is. And George Russell, who led the race for a number of laps, absolutely brilliant. And you say, what a Lewis Hamilton. Well, Lewis qualified better in fifth, had a collision which wasn't his fault in the first corner with Kevin Magnussen, went all the way back to 19th and battled brilliantly through the field to fifth place, being the fastest car on track at some points, and fifth place feeling like a win. So are Mercedes back? We had some hope in race two and they flopped ever since. We've had some hope now, and this week we move on to the Principality for the Monaco Grand Prix. Will that suit Mercedes as they're not the fastest in a straight line? We'll see. Will George Russell and or Lewis Hamilton be their first winner of the season? Whatever happens, it's great to see three cars battling now for the point or for the win. The standings, though, see Max Verstappen in front now on 110 points. Charles Leclerc, who failed to finish yesterday, is six behind on 104. Third place, Sergio Perez on 85. On to NBA and the playoffs. It's the East and the West Conference Finals. The Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics. And the Golden State Warriors versus the Dallas Mavericks. Both have had three games. The East see the Heat 2-1 up. They won the first 118-107 at home and then lost home field advantage when the Celtics went to Miami and beat them 127-102. But the Heat struck back straight away, winning in Boston 109-103. So it's still going now with court advantage. Game four coming up. Wonder if the Celtics will make it 2-2 or if Miami Heat will go on again. The West is a slightly different story with the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry outclassing the Dallas Mavericks, who have overachieved and had a great season as it is. Golden State Warriors 3, Dallas Mavericks 0. Golden State Warriors won their two home games 112-87, 126-17, and have just gone to Dallas and beaten the Mavericks 109-100. It looks like it's going to be sewn up for the Golden State Warriors. We finish off with football and some catch-up results from last week. Aston Villa 1, Burnley 1, Chelsea 1, Leicester 1, Everton 3, Crystal Palace 2, which guaranteed Everton's safety in the Premier League. Last weekend, though, was the final weekend of the season. Match day 38, permutations. Manchester City were 1 point clear of Liverpool. So if Manchester City beat Aston Villa at home, whatever Liverpool did, it didn't matter. If Manchester City slipped up by drawing or losing, Liverpool could win the league with a win. If Tottenham won, they finished fourth. If they lost, Arsenal could win and finish fourth. Manchester United could lose 6th to West Ham if they lost and West Ham won. And at the bottom, if Leeds won at Brentford, they stayed up. Any slip up, if Burnley won, Burnley stayed up. So much to play for on the last day. Here's the results. Crystal Palace won, Manchester United 0, Arsenal 5, Everton 1, Chelsea 2, Watford 1, Leicester 4, Southampton 1, Brentford 1, Leeds 2, Burnley 1, Newcastle 2, Manchester City 3, Aston Villa 2, Norwich 0, Tottenham 5, Brighton 3, West Ham 1, and Liverpool 3, Wolves 1. So what do we take from the results? We'll go straight to the top of the table, and Manchester City 2-0 down to Aston Villa with just 14 minutes left. Scored three goals in 6 minutes to destroy Aston Villa and tear Liverpool hearts to pieces. Liverpool at the time were only 1-1 with Wolves, but they went on to win the game. If City hadn't got those three goals, Liverpool would have been champions. But as it stands, Manchester City are crowned champions for the fourth time in 5 years. Congratulations to them. Liverpool can still go on and win the Champions League final and get a treble. They face Real Madrid this weekend. Fourth place, Tottenham go to Norwich and blow them away 5-0 to secure fourth. And Arsenal, credit to them, they gave it a go. They beat Everton 5-1, but they're fifth. Manchester United lost to Crystal Palace, but because West Ham lost 3-1 to Brighton, Manchester United are sixth. And then at the bottom, Leeds, 1-1 at the time with Brentford, scored a last-minute winner to guarantee they stayed up. However, Burnley lost at home to Newcastle, so that was irrelevant, but it was great for Leeds to have a finish. Absolutely brilliant. What a great end to the season. And as we said, good luck to Liverpool this Saturday in the Champions League final. One final note I'd just like to say. My own girls of Get Pro Academy, the under-11s, in Easter in April, they went to Tottenham and won the Tottenham Foundation Tournament. Yesterday, they went into the Lions' Den of their closest competitors and local neighbours, Newbury and Thatcham, and they won their tournament. Six group games, a quarter-final, a semi-final and a final. Not one goal conceded. Freya Lansdowne, top scorer, but all the players, Daisy, Carly, Connie, Ava and Ellie, were all fantastic. They always do us proud. And these girls are the best under-11s I think we've ever had. And we only see a good future for them. Look out for those girls at Get Pro Academy. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, that's the end of another brilliant show. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. We started off with Alexis Spans from America. We've spoken to Alexis before when she was planning, recovering, rehabilitating to come back from her ACL. And now she's played and she's committed to a college. Brilliant for Alexis. And we'll look forward to catching up with her again soon. And Katie Scott, the brilliant dual-purpose trainer on the borders of Scotland, who had another winner last weekend. She's such a developing and a great trainer. We can't wait to work with Katie more either. Thank you to you, the listeners, for always tuning in. We absolutely appreciate your support. And of course, to Johan, Rafaela and the team for the great platform they give us. We'll see you all next week. Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world. Good time, having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.